Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Nate Bucati, riding solo with you today as Carter Augustine's enjoying a couple of extra days out on the beach in California. And how can you blame him? Basking in the glow of Sporting Kansas City's 2-0 victory over LAFC on Saturday. I have a busy show on tap for you today. I'm not going to be all by myself. Coming up, we're going to hear some post-game thoughts from Elie Sanchez after Sporting's big 2-0 victory over LAFC. We're going to be joined on the phones by Sporting Kansas City defender Seth Sinovic, who's jumped back in to the starting 11 at the left-back position in two road games, and he's helped keep two clean sheets for Sporting KC as they're up to nine shutouts, on the season now after they blanked LAFC on Saturday. We're also going to preview yet another monumental match for Sporting Kansas City on Saturday night in the third segment of our show when we talk with Ross Smith, the color analyst for the Portland Timbers television broadcast crew. Look, I feel like it's almost starting to make me sound like the boy who cried wolf every time I talk about how big a match is for Sporting Kansas City, but it's the truth. When you take a look at where Sporting KC are in the Western Conference standings, in fact, if you just take a look at where everybody is in the Western Conference right now, these matches are massive. Every single one of them is a huge swing in the standings and will go a long, long way in determining who gets those coveted top four spots in the West going into the playoffs. As we know, for Sporting KC, the biggest goal this year is get that home playoff game for the first time since 2013, and a deep run in the playoffs feels almost certain to follow if you can get that done. Last year, they missed out on it by 1 point. They lost to the Houston Dynamo, and the Dynamo went all the way to the conference finals. And we all know about what happened the 2 years before that. They lost in dramatic fashion in Seattle. They went all the way to MLS Cup and won it. And the year before that, they lost in dramatic fashion to Portland. They went all the way to MLS Cup. So getting that home playoff game is still the major item of business for Sporting Kansas City. And right now they look good. They're in second place after these two big road wins against Houston and LAFC. They're only 3 points out of first place because FC Dallas have dropped two games in a row. And all of a sudden, you look at it, FC Dallas on 42 points, Sporting Kansas City on 39. The Portland Timbers in third place on 37. Now, they do have two games in hand on Sporting Kansas City. One of those games will be played tomorrow night, by the way, which we'll talk about with Ross Smith. And then you've got LA, LAFC, and Real Salt Lake rounding out the teams that would be in the playoffs right now. But Real Salt Lake at 35 points, that means the Vancouver Whitecaps just 2 points out of the playoffs at 33. So for Sporting KC, just 6 points separate them from second place and out of the playoffs. So while first place is definitely within reach, this situation of making the playoffs and hosting a game is certainly anything but a done deal right now. So yes, this coming game on Saturday against Portland is massive. If the Portland Timbers get a victory on the road tomorrow night, then all of a sudden they'll be back in front of Sporting Kansas City still with a game in hand. Even if they take the loss at DC United, it's going to be a situation where Sporting KC have a 2-point lead, but Portland have a game in hand. You would certainly love, if you're Sporting Kansas City as the home side, take all 3 points. All of a sudden, you've built yourself a 5-point cushion over your next closest competitor. And, of course, those top two playoff spots in the Western Conference, you get a first-round bye as well. So there's a lot to be played for over the final 11 games of this season. Now, I'll tell you what, it's going to be great drama. But the best news for Sporting KC is they seem to be rounding back into good form and getting players back. That's one of the things Peter Vermees talked about after this win against LAFC. Hey, just getting our players back. We're playing good soccer now. Felipe Gutierrez seems to be rounding into shape. Matt Beisler and Ike Opara seem to be healthy and functioning as a good tandem once again. All of a sudden, with Graham Zusi and Seth Sinovic back there, you've got a veteran back line that's kept two clean sheets against two of the most potent teams in the Western Conference on their team's home field. in back-to-back games. So it's great to see Sporting KC turning things back around after that June and July swoon, but still a long way to go and a lot of big results still to come the rest of this season. Well, let's start by taking a look back at that game against LAFC. Sporting Kansas City got the win with a big goal by Gerso Fernandez in the first half to make it 1-0. That was courtesy of a great play by Diego Rubio, first to win the ball back and then play it forward to Fernandez for the assist. And when you take a look at the performance by Diego Rubio in this game, something I'm working on for our pregame show coming up on Saturday, look, first of all, he was incredibly accurate with his passing. If you go to one of my favorite sites to look at game scores and statistics is whoscored.com. By their statistical ranking, Diego Rubio was the best player on the field on Saturday night. And of course, he did not play the entire game, but Peter Vermes said afterwards that it was the best game of the year by Diego Rubio. He added tackles, recoveries, winning aerial duels, four of those in the middle of the field to help hold the ball up for Sporting Kansas City, and tracking back with a couple of clearances as well against set pieces. He did everything he possibly could to help Sporting Kansas City get the result in that game, so a major tip of the cap for Diego Rubio, who was the man of the match in my estimation. So he sets up the first goal, and then in the second half, Felipe Gutierrez bravely throwing himself at a rebounded shot that came off of Daniel Shalloway. Lopez, the goalkeeper, basically couldn't catch it, knocked it straight into the path of Gutierrez, who made the run, threw his body and his head at it, and got a boot to the side of the head by Yakovic, the defender for LAFC. Controversial or not, to me, it is a high boot. It is a dangerous play, and it did deserve a penalty and a booking, and Sporting Kansas City got that. Elie converted from the spot, and Sporting KC were able to fend off some late challenges by LAFC, or late threats by LAFC to score down the stretch in that game, and they get the 2-0 victory. After the game, Elie spoke with our Carter Augustine. I'm going to play those comments for you right now.
Elie, huge 3 points here against LAFC. How did you guys get this result in a really tough place to play?
I think we are in a good shape. The 11 players, the 14 players who play tonight, we did our job, and that shows that everybody is focused on what the team needs from them, and that's why we get this result tonight.
Peter Vermes said that first goal came from the result of really good unison in pressing. What did you guys, and you guys were pressing to the end of the game. What does it take to do that throughout the entire game?
You know, it's all about timing in the pressure. Tonight we did a great job in that way. And if Peter said that, it's because we did a really good job. He never says something just to say it. So I hope that he can show us during the week what we did good in this pressure, and for us to be more, more focused about what the team needs and what we did tonight.
You get a goal as well, converting from the penalty spot. Did I see you point up to the Rodri after you scored?
I cannot answer this question because I just want to say that my goal, this win is for Jimmy. He got an injury in the middle of the season. He's here with us. He made the trip with us. So this win is for him. So I'm glad that he was with us tonight and that we could win for him.
So there's Elie Sanchez, and kind of some cryptic words in regards to his teammate Jimmy Madronda. We understand the reports are out there that Jimmy Madronda's knee injury is more long-term than they had originally hoped. You get the sense from Elie that the players really feel bad for Jimmy Madronda. What a loss that's been for Sporting Kansas City so far this year. But the guy who has stepped up in his place over the last couple of games to help solidify that back line for Sporting KC, he's like old reliable. Every time Sporting Kansas City need him, he He steps right in, and everything just seems to work defensively for Sporting Kansas City. That's Seth Sinovic. He's going to join us on the other side of the break to talk about that big win over LAFC and look ahead to another big game against the Portland Timbers coming up. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show. Seth Sinovic right on the other side. Stick around. The Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. As Sporting are back in the swing of things after two big away wins in the Western Conference, they are climbing right back up toward the top of the Western Conference. And to talk about it with us now is left back for Sporting Kansas City, Seth Sinovic. Seth, how's it going, man?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing great. Tell me how high the team is flying right now after these two big results in back-to-back road games.
Yeah, it's been big. It's been a big confidence boost. I think we obviously went through a tough stretch, and unfortunately that happens pretty much every year to pretty much every team in the league. But got to find a way to fight through it. Fortunately, we've come away with the two big road games against Western Conference opponents.
Well, obviously, we know what happened in the Houston game, and obviously the red card changed the complexion of that one, and then it kind of spiraled out of control from there. But this next road trip you guys went on, you go to L.A., this is a team with all kinds of attacking power, and you guys got another clean sheet out of it. Tell me about, basically the defensive form you guys have been in over the last couple of games. Why have you guys been able to get back to the success you had earlier in the season in that aspect of things?
Yeah, I mean, we've been a team that's preached defense, as long as I've been here. And, it's, for whatever reason, we're just struggling a little bit. Sometimes it's bounces, sometimes it's, just individual mistakes. And, there's going to be individual mistakes throughout the game, but it seems like the last few games we've been covering for each other. And the press from the forwards and the midfielder have certainly made it a lot easier for the defenders and making it a lot more predictable for us too. So, front to back, I think we've just been a little bit more in sync, and I think that's obviously translated into a good result for us.
Tell me what you thought of the atmosphere in Bank of California Stadium and just the atmosphere and the setting, the stadium, all that, your experience of playing that game on Saturday night.
Yeah, it was great. I was really excited to see that stadium. I had heard a lot of good things. It's a beautiful stadium. I think it's really well done, and the atmosphere is great as well. It definitely rivals Sporting is one of the better ones in the league, and it was fun to play in. It was just a great atmosphere, and obviously it helps when you get the win.
You guys have gone to some of the most difficult places to play in this league, and you've come away with results and shutouts. You went up to Portland earlier this year. Nobody seems to shut them out at home except for you guys. You went to Houston, as we just covered. You went to Atlanta earlier this year, the team with the best record in all of MLS. Is there something to that? Do you guys get turned up when you go into these tough environments? How do you explain that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I saw that stat. I think there's six or seven, opening stadiums that we've given that team their first loss in. I honestly can't really tell you. We're definitely excited. We're definitely excited to play that game. It's tough to really pinpoint it, but it's coming at the right time because, like we talked about, we had kind of a little bit of a tough stretch, and we definitely needed that win considering both teams were tied in the standings. And fortunately, we were able to come away with it.
And to back that up, I mean, I think I saw the stat just today that you guys have five road wins this season, which is among the best in the entire league when it comes to that category. And it's also more wins than you guys had on the road combined the last 2 years. So what's the difference? Like, why are you guys so much more successful, you think, on the road this year maybe than you were the last couple years?
We certainly have a very strong team, or at least we feel we do. But I can tell you at the beginning of the year in preseason, this group of guys that got together and we were talking about putting an emphasis on, not just looking to get a result or get a tie in our away games. The biggest difference in gaining points in the standings is being able to get wins on the road. So that's definitely been a point of emphasis of ours. It's something, we've always wanted to impose our style of game on, no matter where we were playing, whether it was home or away. And I think that's translated to good good results and good victories, and hopefully we can keep that going the rest of the year.
We're visiting with Sestanovic after Sporting Kansas City got a 2-0 victory at LAFC that put Sporting back in sole possession of second place in the Western Conference. And you also got to see a couple of familiar faces, Seth. You got to see Benny, your good buddy, Benny Failhaber, on Saturday, and Latif Blessing as well. What was the interaction like with those guys?
Yeah, it was cool. It was really good to see them. Trades are a part of the business, unfortunately. Obviously, expansion draft as well with Latif. But, my biggest thing whenever I see guys get traded, first thing I ask them is if they're happy and they're enjoying themselves and like where they're at. Both those guys seem to really enjoy what's going on there. And, it's a really, really good organization. And, obviously they're off to a fast start. So as long as those guys are happy, that makes me happy. So it was good seeing them and good to see that they're enjoying themselves out there.
Okay, I remember you telling me that when Benny was here, and you, of course, weren't the only one to tell me this, that that nobody talks more than Benny, whether it's on the field or in the locker room or when you guys are hanging out playing cards, whatever. So now I'm curious, you described him as the most annoying guy on the team, I think, when we did our drive around. Is it more annoying when he's talking on your team or more annoying when he's talking on the other team, now that you've had it both ways?
Well, I didn't really get to talk to him too much during the game, so that didn't really bother me too much. But definitely more annoying when he's in the locker room and stuff like that. While it's annoying, it's also really good for the locker room. And, provides really good banter, and it's just another way for guys to interact, and he kind of gets the locker room going a little bit. So we definitely miss him, but like I said, we're happy he's enjoying himself and his family's happy out in L.A.
And you're going to see those guys again on decision day. I know you got a bunch to do between now and then, but it certainly would stun me if both you guys and LAFC aren't in the mix for these top spots in the West when that day comes around. Have you even thought about like what that day is going to be like, seeing those guys, especially now that you've played them once, back in your place to close out the regular season?
I really haven't. I'm sure they're going to get a warm welcome from the fans. Especially Benny, since he had been here for so long. But that's tough to look that far ahead from standings or standpoint or whatnot. It's just we got a lot of work to do, a lot of games left, and we'll cross that bridge once we get through it.
Can you believe how tight this Western Conference race is right now?
It's pretty crazy. I don't remember, but I feel like it was pretty tight last year too.
Yep.
But it just seems like one win or one loss here or there can kind of drop you three or four spots this year. So it's pretty crazy, but it's fun to be a part of too.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, last year, just 1 point different, and you guys are hosting that game against Houston instead of having to go on the road in the playoffs. So it was tight last year. It's tight again this year. I mean, there's 7 points that separate first place from out of the playoffs right now in the West. So it's crazy. And one of those teams, Seth, that you guys are duking it out with right now, the Portland Timbers. Right now you guys have a 2-point lead over the Timbers. They do have 2 games in hand. One of those games is tomorrow night, by the way, so we'll get a chance to watch them at midweek while you guys get ready for this game. I mentioned it earlier. You faced them once this year up in Portland and got a big result. Tell me about this Portland team. What impresses you the most, and what are going to be some of the biggest challenges on Saturday night to getting a victory?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they've got a lot of talented attackers. I believe Valeri was the MVP of the league last year, so obviously we're watching him and Armenteros and just Blanco, and the list goes on and on. But the thing that impresses me the most is they're extremely organized defensively, and they're tough to break down, and they haven't given up a ton of goals. After the first 5 games of the year, they kind of settled in and been a force, and I think, what was their streak, 15
yes,
straight unbeaten games. So,
yep.
They're definitely a solid, really organized team, and they'll be difficult to break down, but that's something we'll have to try and break through and need to get back on the winning ways back at home.
Watching some of their games here recently as I've been getting ready for this game on Saturday, their announcers talk a lot about their ability to spring on the counter. They One of the reasons they're good defensively is they'll put numbers back, and then when they get the ball, they look to use their speed and get guys down the field. For a guy like you who has kind of both responsibilities of getting forward as a left back but helping defensively as well, what kind of a challenge does a team like that present, maybe especially when you're the home side and you're kind of trying to drive the game at them?
Sure, yeah. It's definitely a difficult challenge. Now, Portland's been good on the counter for the last couple of years as well, but seems like they've really stepped it up a notch this year. And like I said, there's tons of guys to watch out for. And the biggest thing for guys like myself playing in the back, or Graham or Matt or Ike, is making sure that we're extremely organized and we're balanced when we are pushing numbers forward, because if you're not, they will definitely punish you.
Well, Seth, we really appreciate the time. Congratulations on the last couple of games, and best of luck on Saturday night for what's going to be another massive one in the Western Conference. Thanks, Seth.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Seth Sinovic, who has been at the heart of the defense for Sporting Kansas City. They've gotten two big road shutouts to get back on track here in the West, and another one coming up on Saturday night at 7:30 against the Portland Timbers. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll preview this Timbers side with Ross Smith, the color analyst for the Timbers broadcast, as the Sporting Kansas City show continues. And we're back on the Sporting Kansas City show here on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. And it's always a pleasure to get to talk to one of the real good guys. They got a whole good crew, I'll be honest with you, on the broadcast team for the Portland Timbers. And his name is Ross Smith. He's the analyst for the Timbers television crew. And I think we're talking to him in an airport right now. Ross, good evening, man. How you doing?
Yeah, doing well, Nate. Always good to chat with you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you this week. But first stop, D.C., Washington right now, as we prepare for D.C. United for the Timbers tomorrow night against D.C.
And I saw that this is the first midweek MLS game you guys have had all year. That seems crazy to me to have that come this late in August.
That's amazing, isn't it? Looking into it and talking about midweek games. Of course, there's been U.S. Open Cup, but we've seen Giovanni Savarese rotate a little bit through there with a couple of T2 players coming up for those rounds. So the first regular season with it, and it's amazing at this point in the season, a makeup game for the Timbers, though, and it's going to be interesting with that, just to see what Savarese does in terms of rotation. Big game, obviously, coming up after this, going into Sporting Kansas City. So a lot of minutes for some guys, and other guys a chance to impress the manager.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some tough choices to make over these two games. You guys have been really good on the road, though. I think a 5-match unbeaten streak, 3-0-2 away from home. Yep. Coming into this one, what's been the key to the road success?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think with Giovanni Savarese, what he's done, and everybody's talking about how he's changed formations, he's tinkered quite a bit, and he's actually brought guys together by doing it where it could create some confusion. And what he's done, he's made guys make sure that when they're in the team, that they're looking after those minutes and that they're impressing so that they can keep their place. So I think that's one thing, the mentality. Guys realize that the 90 minutes when they're handed that, or however amount of time, they have to take advantage. I think the second thing is the formations that he sets out. And I think when he goes off on the road, it's more don't lose first, and then your progression, you make sure that you're at least getting a point, whatever you do. And it's interesting, Nate, when I think of it, you know, with Giovanni sitting at a poker table, if it will, or playing a little roulette with his chips, he's not a guy that's going to be throwing up the big chips. He's a guy that's just going to slowly chip away. He's just going to slowly put his chips down and then progress as it goes. And I think that's the way he's been all year. It's not an all-out attacking type team. It's very pragmatic. It's very calculated with what he does. And I think that's true at home, but certainly when he goes away, that it's make sure we don't lose first of all, and then we'll go from there.
Well, and you mentioned that approach that leads to the best defensive record in the Western Conference, at least out of the playoff teams. Right now, Seattle's conceded one fewer goal than Portland, but you guys have conceded just 27 goals so far this year. And I got to be honest, it surprised me, because it seems like you guys have done it a lot without Liam Ridgewell, but he's put together that defensive side. How's he been able to do that?
I think a big name, Luis Nabiala, and I don't feel in MLS that there's enough conversation going on about him outside of the Portland market. I think Lewis Mabiala has been one of the top centre-backs in the league so far this year. He's been so solid. He's one of those old-school defenders that you feel is a dying breed, a guy just who loves to head it. He loves to kick people. He gets in the right position the majority of the time, organises around them. And I just think his performances have ticked along nicely, where he's played every single minute for the Timbers as well this year. And so he's always available. And so I look at that back line. I look at Jeff Antonella. He had a tough one against Vancouver Whitecaps. I'm not sure if you saw Kai Kamara's goal, but it was a nightmare for Jeff Antonella. But apart from that, he's been really sound. He's been very good. And if I went through the entire back line, everybody's been very good for the team. But the standout player certainly is Lewis Mabiala. He's always there for the manager. He's always putting in a solid performance. And I can't think of any off nights that he's had. And that's the big, big reason. I always think when you have a solid defensive record, it has to be about the unit, but you do have to have one standout at least that is really commanding and the lead along the back line. And it's been him.
We're visiting with Ross Smith. He's the analyst for the Portland Timbers. They've got a game in Washington, D.C. tomorrow night at 7 o'clock that we'll, of course, all be watching here in Kansas City. Then they fly right here to Kansas City and get ready for the big matchup in the Western Conference on Saturday night at 7:30 at Children's Mercy Park. All right, Ross, you mentioned that mess up by Antonella in the opening goal against Vancouver this past weekend. Look, that game ended up leading to the first loss for you guys in 16 games. I mean, a 15-match unbeaten streak. Just tell me what that was like for this team. That's incredible.
It never looked like losing. And just being around the guys, it was never coming into their minds. And I remember back, I caught the end of 2013 with Caleb Porter and that era. But certainly the stories from then was of the same mentality from guys and the swagger about him, but it was a confident swagger, and it was warranted. And that's what the Timbers have had with this, and given that so many guys have been a part of this streak, they feel like a team. Instead of it just being a certain 11 players who have gotten them there, a lot of guys have contributed. And so it was a nice environment to be around. And what I can say, going before Vancouver with it, Nate, and before training, there was a few people at training ground, and the jovial feeling around the team. It was nice to look out onto the team and see so many guys interacting. And I have to say, that wasn't there at the start of the year on the Giovanni Savarese. It was quiet on the training ground, and a few of us turning to one another saying, this isn't good. And of course, the first two games of the year weren't good for the Timbers. But it was so quiet, eerily quiet, and it seemed to be a little bit of a divide between the old Timbers and the new Timbers. So going on this streak, what it's done, it's received the buy-in from the players and to the manager, and the teammates are enjoying one another a lot more now, and so it's definitely a much more enjoyable working environment for the players. Now it's all about how do they react after that loss, Vancouver, because they haven't suffered with a loss since dating back to Orlando, and for the team to have to dig back in to remember what that feeling's like, to see how they react from there is going to be important this week.
All right, Ross, you mentioned that Savarese will tinker with the lineups a little bit. I got to be honest, when I was watching the Timbers versus Whitecaps game, I kind of had to keep checking my roster because I'm not used to seeing Diego Chara out on the right wing. I feel like he's been the best defensive midfielder, if not the best, one of the top three or four defensive midfielders in this league for a long, long time. And he wasn't playing there over the weekend. Tell me about that change, and will we see more tinkering, you think, as the season goes on?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And for me, like you, I'm so used to seeing Diego Chara middle of the holding center midfielder, middle of the center midfield. And I like him there because he can go and destroy. He can go and get all around the pitch. But I see him on the right-hand side. He's pushed up a little bit more. And I understand it from Giovanni Savarese with looking at Alvis Powell pushing on a little bit more. You have Diego Chara there to cover that area when Powell goes. And I know with so many numbers in the middle of the park, you need that width. And so I understand the reasoning with Diego Chara being on that right-hand side and his relationship with Powell. But I think my preference would be for him being in the middle of the park where he can get around, where he can break up tackles, wherever he likes. And I thought there was a difference when he shifted into the middle of the park, David Guzman coming off. Because Chara, you can transition off the dribble, but certainly with his passing as well, I think it's very underrated. And so getting him more around the game, middle of the park, I know that would be my preference, but I understand everything's calculated very carefully with Giovanni Savarese, where guys play, relationships on the park, and I know he likes that relationship with Chara and Paolo at certain times.
Final thing I want to ask you about, Ross, is the transfer window. Portland, obviously, maybe the biggest news was who they said goodbye to in Fernando Adi. We know that Armenteros has really taken that spot and hasn't looked back. But you also brought in some familiar faces as well. Just maybe give me a thumbnail on what you think was the best thing to come out of the transfer window for the Timbers.
Yeah, Biafania. I think Biafania coming back in, there's just so many boxes that keep coming in. You're getting an elite left back, maybe one of the best left backs, certainly in the conversation in this league. It gives you something going forward. It gives you something defensive-wise. The fans know him. Teammates know him. He's great with the media. He just hits every single box. I think he is easily the brightest part of the transfer window. I think Addy going out, it was time. And not often do the club and a player come to that point at the same time. And they did that. And the way he was able to say goodbye, I know it was well received all around the league, and every player dreams of that sort of send-off. And Addy had earned it from his time with the club. But that, for me, is the biggest hole right now. I think it was evident in the Vancouver game that you didn't have anybody to really play into once Armenteros went off the pitch. And then that's going to be my big question going forward is, if Armenteros is not the number nine, who's it going to be? And Estrella, he can offer you different things, running in behind, and he can pull out wide. But when you need somebody to play off of, like Addy was, like that big pillar, Armenteros can give you it. But when it's not Armenteros, who's going to be that second guy? And I think of the run the Timbers made, only one in 2015. It was a Rudy or Addy. So you have two different kinds of strikers. Just wondering who that next player is going to be to step up. And just finally, Lucas Milano. I think everybody's wondering what is going to happen with Lucas Milano. There was no question about his pace and his ability to get in behind teams, but his wayward finishing is what cost him and what undid him. And so that's the biggest unknown of what will be when I talk about the uncertainty of who will be the next number nine, what's Lucas Milano going to be like. But the one certain thing is Jorge Biafania is the biggest bright spot, and everybody can't wait for him to come back in.
Well, it seems like you guys have had some great play at left back from Valentin as it is. So
Yes, it's a tricky one. You mentioned it right there, because Valentin, I think, has been absolutely superb this year. So it's going to be interesting what happens. And I think everybody, for Valentin and Alves Pau, different formations, Giovanni Savarese can play. Everybody's going to be looking to be at their best that they have been all season long on guard, knowing that Biafania's coming back in and there'll be pressure to play in.
Well, Ross, certainly appreciate your time. I know you're at baggage claim probably by now, so I'll let you go. But best of luck to you and the Timbers tomorrow night. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in Kansas City and hearing all about Audi Field and what you think of that new place.
Looking forward to it, yes. Look forward to chatting. And then I'm going to have to pick your brain in a couple of days on where the best barbecue is when we come into Kansas City.
We'll send you to the right spots. Trust me, buddy. We'll do it. Thanks, Ross, take care, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, that is Ross Smith. Helping us break down the Portland Timbers. Back to wrap things up on the Sporting Kansas City Show right after this. Back to wrap things up on another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show right here on your home for SKC Soccer Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati with you. Our thanks to Seth Sinovic and Ross Smith for joining us on the show today and getting us ready. Boy, I can't wait for Saturday night at Children's Mercy Park. That place is going to be rocking. I understand there are still a few limited tickets that are available. 888-4KC-GOAL is the phone number. Of course, you can go to SeatGeek. You can go to SportingKC.com to get tickets. I think the weather should be pretty good as long as some of the storms hold off. It's not going to be too hot for a late August kickoff. A lot of times you might be looking at temperatures in the mid to upper 90s, but on Saturday they're calling for a high of just 87 degrees, which means by the time kickoff rolls around, it's going to be in the low 80s and should be a good game. Of course, a great game and a good day in terms of the conditions for a soccer game as well. I just absolutely can't wait for this one. Two teams that are duking it out for some of the top spots in the Western Conference. You know, we talked about it with Ross a little bit. The Portland Timbers got off to a really slow start this year, but boy, did they rebound. 15 matches unbeaten before having that streak broken over the weekend. And you know they're going to be chomping at the bit when they come to Children's Mercy Park on Saturday, and maybe with a little revenge in mind, as Sporting shut them out on their home field earlier this season. A couple of bits of news and notes for you before we wrap things up today that I thought I'd go through. That milestone victory for Sporting Kansas City at LAFC this past weekend. We talked a lot about this on the broadcast, that Sporting were trying to become the first team ever to beat LAFC on their home field. Of course, this is the first year of their team, but at the same time, 13 games they'd already played, and nobody had been able to break through and hand them a loss until Sporting Kansas City did so. And it turns out that Peter Vermes and his team have a knack for doing just that, handing teams their first ever loss in their current stadium. So let's go back in history and look at some of these losses that Sporting Kansas City have handed, and think about the franchises and the stadiums that we're talking about as well. You go back to April 28th of 2007, Sporting Kansas City defeated Toronto FC at BMO Field by a score of 1-0. First team to ever win at BMO Field against Toronto FC. Then a couple of years later, 2009 in April, at Seattle Sounders FC at CenturyLink Field, a 1-0 victory for Sporting Kansas City, first team to knock off the Sounders on their home field. Then 2009, Real Salt Lake opens up Rio Tinto Stadium, and on May 16th, Sporting Kansas City got a 2-0 victory to beat Real Salt Lake. Of course, that was the beginnings of a heck of a rivalry between those two teams that would culminate in Sporting Kansas City lifting MLS Cup just 4 years later. Boy, remember that long winning streak that the Houston Dynamo had at BBVA Compass Stadium when they were in their prime, 2013, Sporting Kansas City showing they were a special team on May 12th of that year, getting a 1-0 victory over the Houston Dynamo to hand them their first loss at their current home stadium. How about NYCFC? Yankee Stadium, I remember that one. Matt Beasley with a long throw-in to Ike Opara, who nodded at home, and Sporting got a victory at Yankee Stadium early in the season back in 2015. That was my first year as the play-by-play announcer for Sporting Kansas City. I remember being there at ice-cold Yankee Stadium that night when Sporting got the win. First team to beat NYCFC at Yankee Stadium. That was March 28th of 2015, and now, this past weekend against LAFC, they get the 2-0 victory at Bank of California Stadium. So six different stadiums where Sporting Kansas City have gone in and handed teams their first ever loss in their current building. The most that any other team has in MLS is two. So that really says something for the mentality of this Sporting Kansas City team. It's really incredible. So when it comes to this season, 2018, Sporting KC have faced off against the best attacking teams in MLS so far this year when it comes to scoring. Atlanta United, they lead MLS with 50 goals. LA Galaxy at 46 and LAFC at 45. Sporting Kansas City got shutout victories on the road against all three of those teams. 2-0 victories, in fact. Remember that 2-0 victory at Atlanta United? And then, of course, the LA Galaxy when Johnny Russell put on a show, and then this past weekend at LAFC. So, again, Sporting Kansas City showing the ability to put in a really good defensive shift against the best teams in MLS on their home fields, which is really cool. A couple of milestones as well. Matt Beasler got another start, 282 starts, all competitions. That pushes him past Kerry Zavagnin. Boy, poor Kerry's just losing about every record he's got to Matt Beasler this year. Already MLS appearances and minutes and starts had been taken by Matt Beasler. Now it's most starts in all competitions. And Graham Zusi, by the way, moved past Davey Arnaud for second place in regular season appearances when he made his 241st appearance for Sporting Kansas City against LAFC. Matt Beisler and Graham Zusi were roommates in Matt Beisler's parents' basement when they first started their MLS careers back in 2009. 10 seasons later, who would have thought way back then that these would become two of the most iconic players in franchise history? But they certainly have done that, and they've won a lot of trophies in the process as well, and maybe more to come. They certainly are putting themselves in position for that this year. One other note that I thought was interesting, with Christian Namath coming in and making his first appearance for Sporting this season, he marks his return to Sporting Kansas City. And, of course, we know he scored 16 goals in 2015 in all competitions. When he came in this time around in 2018, he officially became the 10th player in Sporting Kansas City history with two separate stints with the club. There's one guy on his team right now who can say that, and that is, of course, Roger Espinoza, who was with the team till 2012 before going over to Wigan and then coming back in 2015. The other players, Diego Gutierrez, Igor Juliao, Matt McKeon, Christian Namath, of course, as we just mentioned, Lawrence Olam, Preki, Suni Saad, Shavar Thomas, and Josh Wolf. So welcome back, Christian Namath. It's great to have him back in the fold, and I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that number nine position shakes out for the rest of this season. Peter Vermees said that Diego Rubio had his best performance as a Sporting Kansas City player in that win against LAFC. Certainly, he's going to be motivated by the acquisition of Christian Namath to try to fight for that spot as a starter for this team, although we know he's been tremendous as a super sub for Sporting Kansas City this year as well. Christian Namath now in the mix as well, and we can't forget about Kyrie Shelton. If you go back and look at the record that Sporting Kansas City has when Kyrie Shelton starts, it's pretty incredible. And even though his goal-scoring record is not incredible, the team's record is, and I think a lot of it is down to all the things that Kyrie Shelton can do. When you look at these three different options, and the word is that Kyrie Shelton, his recovery's ahead of schedule, maybe another month or less before he's back out there. So you could be looking at getting a boost from him coming back in the last month and a half, month of the season as well. And when you look at all three guys, for me, they all do something different. You know, Diego Rubio shows, first of all, he's going to put in a tireless amount of work tracking back, trying to win balls for Sporting Kansas City. His combination play, I think, is just absolutely terrific, particularly with guys like Daniel Shalloway, and he's shown the ability to score goals late on in games. When you look at Christian Namath, his technical ability and his finishing ability, we know how good those things are for Sporting Kansas City. His ability with his back to the goal to turn defenders as well is something that that I think Sporting KC can really use, and maybe a little bit more of an ability to stretch defenses than Diego Rubio has. So each guy brings something a little different to the table. For Kyrie Shelton, you know, the finishing hasn't been there, but boy, the ability to set up opportunities for his teammates, the work rate that he puts in initiating that high press, the ability to hold the ball up, and he's got that speed that can really stress defenses with the ability to play through balls to Kyrie Shelton as well, like we saw in the Atlanta United game that led to that red card, which completely changed the entire complexion of that game. For me, three players who all have some real strengths, but they're different strengths. And that might make for some interesting decisions. For Peter Vermees, it might just be based down to matchups, what he thinks he needs in a given game. And, of course, whichever guy's not starting at up top for Sporting Kansas City, you've got weapons on the bench. And I think that's been a huge difference for this Sporting Kansas City team so far this year, is that they've been able to go down to the bench, either if it's late in a game by bringing guys like Diego Rubio and Gerso earlier in the season in, or if it's because guys get injured, like Johnny Russell going down and Gerso Fernandez stepping up and scoring goals. The depth that they've had in the attack this year has been a major difference from last year to this year, and I think it's a major reason why they've been able to win games on the road. I listed off those results. They've been able to score multiple goals on the road this year on a consistent basis. That's simply something that didn't seem possible a year ago. And now here they are. They've got 5 away wins to show for it, which is more than they've had the last 2 years combined. And I think there's more to come. You look at the away schedule for Sporting KC, they've got the opportunity to get some more road wins coming up this season. But up next, it's time to focus on the Portland Timbers. Again, they are in action tomorrow night. So if you want to get yourself a little scouting done on a Wednesday night, you can check out the Portland Timbers in action. And look, they've got a tough travel schedule afoot, as we just talked with Ross Smith about that, as the Timbers are going to be at DC United tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And then, of course, they've got to come all the way to Kansas City after that and get ready for a game against Sporting Kansas City at 7:30 on Saturday night. Again, all the details. You can listen to the game right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB starting at 7:30. If you want to watch, we are on Sparkling HD on Fox Sports Kansas City Plus and the Fox Sports Go app. And, of course, you can get tickets. There are still tickets available. By the end of the day, it will be a sellout, but there are tickets available right now. 888-4KC-GOAL and SportingKC.com to get your tickets. Should be a great night at Children's Mercy Park on Saturday night. That's going to do it for us on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. Again, thanks to Seth Sinovic and Ross Smith. Thanks to Charlie Carlin for running the show for us. We'll see you next time on the Sporting KC Show.